All right. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we live in a world filled with propaganda and lies, with power-hungry and greedy people. Father, seeking control, seeking money. Father, not loving you and not loving neighbor. Father, pulling for our attention, for our time, for our resources. Father, we must be as wise as serpents, Father, in this world. Give us an understanding of how we as Christians should live as it relates to our environment and, Father, the many, many issues that arise concerning that issue. Give us an understanding of these things so that we might glorify you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The question we're looking at tonight is, how should a Christian approach environmental issues? Things like climate change, recycling, carbon emissions, carbon footprint, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's kind of like the Charlie Brown teacher. It is all over the place. It is everywhere. It is every news article, every place. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And as bad as it may seem here in Alachua County with some of the government regulations, my brother was actually living up in Seattle for a while, and he said they have three garbage cans on every street corner. Okay, not one. They have three. Garbage, recycling, and compost. And they are a stickler about that up there. The question is, how should we approach this issue? Now, as Christians, we want to be people who don't view things in the lens of politics and the lens of Republican, Democrat, this speaking head, that speaking head. Jesus Christ is our head. And we want to view things the way he views them. And if he says option A is for us, or option B is for us, or both A and B are wrong, and we have a different path to take, that is the path we want to follow. One of the things that you will find is that one of the ways the devil distorts issues is he gives you an A or a B when the answer is C. That's many times the way he does it. And when you look at this issue of how should Christians approach climate change and recycling, environmental type stuff, you have two competing voices in our culture. You have one that says corporations are greedy and will destroy the environment. Okay? So we've got to pass regulations to stop them from destroying the environment. And then you have the other, which says all these regulations are killing business and all of these things are making poor people hungry because they can't get jobs. Okay, that's what you have. I mean, that's a really, really rude, crude summary, but that's basically the debate we have in our society. What are we as Christians supposed to think? Well, I want to begin in Psalm 24. Psalm 24 in verse 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Before we ever talk about the environment or the climate or anything along those lines, we have to understand who it belongs to. It does not belong to man. It does not belong to the animals. It is not Mother Nature. It belongs to God. Everything. Everything on planet Earth belongs to God. Every fly, every aphid, every molecule, be it of carbon or be it of oxygen, everything belongs to the Lord. Every human being, every piece of steel, every animal, every fish, every bird, it is all the Lord's. Now, if something belongs to you, guess what you get to do? Dictate how it's used. So when we talk about the earth belonging to the Lord, you and I really don't get a say-so. We are just stewards of this planet. In Genesis 1, when God created man, it says this in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. The earth and everything in it was created for God and his glory. God created man to bear his image, to then steward all of creation, to have dominion, that is to have authority over everything. Every animal, every fish, bird, creeping thing, cattle, over every plant, over everything. We have been given dominion. Now, many people think of dominion in the idea of Adolf Hitler and the Jews, that I can slaughter you if I want to. That's not the idea of dominion. Dominion is not that we can go out in the plains and slaughter all the bison for fun. Okay, that's what happened in the 1800s. That is not dominion. Dominion is that we have been created to make everything that God has created completely, totally, perfectly reflect his glory. What is God like? Well, God is fruitful. So what are we to make the world? Fruitful. God is productive. What are we to make our plants and animals? Productive. God is ordered. Okay? God is a God of life, not a God of death. Okay? So what are we to do? We are to make the whole world reflect God's character, which is good, which is righteous, which is just, which is beautiful, which is fruitful, which is productive, which is ordered. All of those things. That's what we are supposed to do. And we're supposed to do this. And notice what it says in verse 28. We are to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Okay, human beings are to multiply. Okay, there's only one way to do that, and that's have lots of babies. Nowhere will you find that ever rescinded in all of Scripture. Now, what we're going to look at when it comes to the environmental issue, you're going to find that many environmentalists hate mankind. They hate human beings. And this past week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I've heard several times something that is so sick, it should make you puke. How many of y'all know who Genghis Khan is? Genghis Khan is probably the most brutal human being that has ever lived. I don't know if you're aware of this. In his conquest as the Mongols, he was the head of the Mongol Empire, he killed 10% of the Earth's population. One-tenth of every person that lived on planet Earth he killed. 40 million people. Okay, wiped out whole villages. And you know what he is now being called? You can Google this if you don't believe me. One of the world's first environmentalists. Because he set back climate change by hundreds of years by reducing the carbon footprint of mankind on planet Earth. Now, that is sick. Okay, when you think of Genghis Khan, he makes Adolf Hitler look nice. Okay? If you, and I don't want to get into all the deep, gory details, but if you read anything about Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler was a choir boy. Okay, Genghis Khan was one of the most sick human beings that ever lived. And now he's being hailed as an environmentalist. One of the first environmentalists. In fact, if you read many of the environmentalists, they'll say we have to reduce the Earth's population down to 1 million people. Of course, in reducing the Earth's population down to 1 million people, guess who part of the 1 million people is? They are. Their children are. God taught the exact opposite. People say, well, the world's becoming overpopulated. Did you know you can fit all 7 billion people on planet Earth in Rhode Island? I read it just this past week. With enough room for everybody to dance the hokey pokey with enthusiasm. That was the exact quote. That does not seem like overpopulation to me. Well, how are we going to feed them all? Did you know we produce enough food right now to feed every single person on planet Earth, and that is with half of our food supply being thrown in the garbage? If you look at the way that we have been fruitful when it comes to the farming industry out of profit, there is enough to feed 15 billion people. So when we begin to talk about environmental issues, we need to understand that many times those who are speaking about environmental issues don't have a biblical perspective. They have an anti-biblical perspective. And this includes both sides of the debate. We as human beings are to steward creation. Okay? This would include the idea of conservation. We are responsible to see that the deer population is healthy, that it grows, that there are bigger deer with bigger antlers. Okay? That is what we're supposed to do. We as Christians should be appalled at the slaughter of elephants and rhinoceros and the bison that were just slaughtered, just without trying to feed people, just slaughtering them. Okay? We as Christians want to see forest be fruitful, to grow, to be ordered. And so we don't, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, there's a big ebony shortage. Okay, if you know anything about wood, ebony is what's made in guitars. It's a really dark wood, and they're just clear-cutting ebony, and we're about to drive to extinction. That should bother Christians. However, what should bother us far more is the slaughter of 55 million babies in our country. That should bother us far more. We as human beings are to steward all of creation. And the way we steward creation is by loving God, loving neighbor, by being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth so that we can make it fruitful. God created the earth, and he has entrusted us to human beings, as human beings, to watch over it. Now, there's a lot of commands in Scripture, believe it or not, on taking care of this earth. Deuteronomy 20, verse 19. When you will besiege a city a long time, it's about the conquest of Canaan, and making war against it, you shall not destroy the trees by forcing an axe against them, for you may eat of them, and you shall not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which you know that they be not trees for meat, you shall destroy and cut them down. You shall not build bulwarks against a city that makes war with you until it be subdued. Notice what he says. Don't go in there and clear cut all the trees, especially the fruit trees. Why? Because the trees have souls. No. Because of human beings. You know what happens if we clear cut the forest? You have a house. Your kids won't. If we cut down all the fruit trees, I mean, Applewood's a beautiful wood. Most of the nicest wood to make furniture and stuff out of is fruit trees. And if you clear cut every fruit tree, guess what will happen to your grandkids? They'll starve to death. So you know what we want? We want to have a sustainable practice of forestry and taking care of trees. God taught that. We don't go and clear cut. But now here, if we have homeless people, which is of more value, the oak tree or the home for the homeless man? The homeless man needs a home. Now, if you look I know we got some loggers in our church. Loggers of all people care more about forests than anyone else. Because if there are no trees, they don't have a job. So what do? When they cut down a tree, when they cut down a 40-acre plot, what do? They go back and they replant it. We as Christian people should be that way. We should be concerned about taking care of the plants. Deuteronomy 23:12. You shall have a place also without the camp, whither you shall go abroad, and you shall have a paddle upon your weapon. And it's kind of gross, but it's in the Bible. And it should be that when you will ease yourself abroad, I love the King James, it's such a nice way of saying this stuff. You shall dig therewith and shall turn back and cover that which comes from you. In other words, you need to have sewage maintained. Okay, the easing yourself is a nice way of saying using the restroom. You don't want raw sewage in the streets. That's what it's saying. Okay, when you are going to use the bathroom, you want to make sure that you don't have raw sewage and pollutants running down the water supply. If you need to use the restroom, don't go upstream of your neighbor, okay? Because he drinks out of that water. He feeds his cattle out of that water. Okay? So when he speaks here of sanitation, avoiding pollution. But I want you to notice the reason, though. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you, to give up your enemies before you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he see no unclean thing in you and turn away from you. Why are we to be worried about pollution and sanitation and all those type of things? Because this is God's land. You know, it's interesting. my in-laws have an exchange student who's Chinese. And one of his first remarks when coming to America was, wow, you can breathe your air. It's so clean. Because he's from a big city in China. I can't remember which one. And if you know anything about China, it's horrid. Now, is our concern to, oh, look at the greenhouse gas emissions? No, our concern is, look what you're doing to God's creation. You know, if I was to let you, say, borrow my car, and you know that I'm coming to your house for dinner, aren't you going to make sure that the car is kind of taken care of? You know, if you're watching my dog, and you know I don't have a dog, but if you're watching my dog and I came home, okay, and was going to come pick up my dog, wouldn't you want to make sure it looked well-fed and clean and taken care of? Why? Because it belongs to somebody else. Our environment does not belong to us. No, it doesn't belong to Mother Earth. It belongs to God. So when you look at this passage of Scripture, should we pour motor oil out in the grass? No. Okay? Should we dump pollutants in the streams like the EPA did out in Colorado? Oh, oops, EPA did that. Not okay, that's side point. Should we do those things? No, we shouldn't do that. Why? Because we live for God and His glory, and this world belongs to Him. So we want to take care of this world, not because of global warming, not because of Mother Earth, not because of because it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. So we want to make sure that the water is drinkable. We want to make sure that the air is breathable. Why? Because we love God and we love our neighbor downstream. Okay? That's the reasoning behind this. Notice this in Leviticus 25, verse 3. 6 years you shall sow your field. 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest to the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, you shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed. For it is a year of rest to the land. Do we as human beings want to do what took place in the South during the days of cotton, where we plant cotton so much that the soil no longer has nutrients? Do we really want to work our animals to death? Do we really want to hunt animals to extinction? Do we really want to really do such farming techniques and everything that we really destroy the world around us? No. He says, give it the land rest. If you go read in the Ten Commandments, you're supposed to give your animals a day off. Why? Well, because we as Christian people, this world doesn't belong to us. Your land is not your land. No, it's not the United States government's land. It's God's land. And as such, you must steward creation for His glory. So we are to take care of our land. We want it to be fruitful. You want your children to be able to farm the same land or put a garden in the land for generations to come. So the Bible has a lot to actually say about farming, about crop rotation, letting land lay fallow, all those type of things that scientists figured out, you know, a couple thousand years later. The Bible already taught. Why? Because we want the land to be fruitful. We want it to be productive. We want it to be beautiful. As such, we're not going to run our animals, our property, the forest, all that. We're not going to devastate them and destroy them. Why? Because we love Mother Earth? No, because we love God. And this belongs to Him. Proverbs 12:10. This is a great verse when your children don't want to feed their animals. A righteous man regards the life of his beast. You want to know the character of a man? Look how he treats his dog. Now, not to offend anyone here, but that does not mean that you have to treat a dog like a human being. Okay, I know some of you all have dogs in your house and you love them. That's fine. What this is talking about is taking care of your cows, your chickens, all the animals around us. Now, does this mean we can't eat meat? Okay, no. Killing a bird is nothing like killing a human being. And by the way, Christians should be concerned about truth. Are you all aware that PETA, they euthanize more animals than almost every other shelter in America? If it's a PETA shelter, they will euthanize more animals than anybody else. People for the ethical treatment of animals euthanize literally millions of pets every year. And yet people say, well, we should care about the animals, support PETA. No, they care about the money. As Christian people who love the Lord, We're going to treat the animals around us the right way. We're going to seek, if we're going to hunt, we're going to hunt humanely. We're going to hunt responsibly. If we have a dog, if we have a cat, if we have farm animals, we're going to take care of them. We're going to see that they're well fed. We're going to see that they're taken care of. And when they're slaughtered, we're going to see that they're slaughtered humanely. I remember a guy that went to the church I was at previously, and he came to church one night. He's just furious. Someone had killed 20 does on his land, cut the back straps out, and threw the rest of them in the ditch. Now, is it okay to hunt? Yes. But is that the way a Christian hunts? No. That's a waste. I mean, that's next year's deer population. That's not the way a Christian would hunt. Some of the guys that I worked with would go through the swamps, and this is the way they hunt. They would all have shotguns with buckshot in them, and they would all be about 100 yards from each other, and they would walk through the swamp, and they'd shoot anything that moves. They'd pile it up in a ditch, take a picture of it, get in the trucks, and leave it. That's the way pagans operate in this world. Can a Christian hunt? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with eating venison or eating any type of meat. But a Christian should hunt responsibly. He should be concerned about a healthy population. He should be concerned about healthy deer. He should be concerned about the environment being okay. Why? Because he worships Mother Earth? No, because he worships God, and a righteous man cares about what God has entrusted to him. Next, John 6:12. When they were filled, he, this is Jesus, said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Jesus was concerned the disciples didn't waste food. Okay? We should not be throwing away things that can be reused. Now, we need to be careful with some recycling. This is, again, I am not a scientist. I'm not an expert on this. But I know some recycling techniques do more harm than they do good. Which ones they are, I don't know. Research it. But as Christians, we shouldn't have to have a government telling us, don't throw good food away. As Christians, we should be wanting to make sure that we are using the resources God has given us in a correct manner. We don't want to be wasteful. We don't want to waste animal life, plant life. We don't want to waste food. We don't want to waste money. We don't want to waste time. We should be frugal. Why? Because we love Mother Earth? No, because we love God. Because we're concerned about climate change? No, because we love the Lord. And this is one of the issues where Christians, in many respects, I feel like have been behind the eight ball. When all the environmentalists started screaming about global freezing back in the 60s, Christians should have been coming forward and saying, no, we're created to take dominion, we are stewards of the earth, and we will take care of the earth. Instead, we sat silent. And so what happened is there became a debate that took place between greedy corporations and power-hungry environmentalists. That's what they are. Neither of which care about God, and neither of which care about man. One cares about profits, one cares about power, and they'll both use people to get there. And we, by and large, stayed out of the conversation, as opposed to saying, man was created to take dominion over this earth, be fruitful, to multiply, and fill the earth. Notice this in Matthew 25. The principle of stewardship is taught here in Matthew 25. The kingdom of heavens is a man traveling to a country, which called his own servants, delivered to them his own goods. He distributes his goods to his servants. He comes back. He judges them. Now, I want you to notice the conclusion of the parable on stewardship. When the Son of Man will come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides a sheep from the goats. What is God's main concern going to be about our stewardship? The king will answer and say to them, verse 40, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, the little animals, the trees, the forest, the stream." Now, what does he say? My brethren, what is God most concerned with? How you treat people. And the idea that you would say, well, Genghis Khan was a brutal dictator, but he was a good environmentalist, shows that you are way out of whack with God's word. God is more concerned with how you treat people than how you treat trees. Listen, I am in favor of taking care of the environment. But until we stop slaughtering human beings, in some respects, why are we trying to stop the slaughter of the elephants? Okay, the elephant population is being slaughtered for ivory, for China. Okay? But as a Christian, I'm far more concerned about Planned Parenthood than I am poachers in Africa. I'm far more concerned about the child who is living in the slums in India than I am the lions that are starving. Okay? Why? Because at the end of the day, when I answer for what I've done in this life, it's going to be about how I've treated people. Now, if you think about the environment from that respects, one, I have to take care of the environment for God, but also, there are going to be generations to come after me. And if I destroy their water supply, I do not love them. If I pollute their air so they can't breathe, I do not love them. If I destroy all the trees so they can't have a home, I do not love them. If I destroy the farmland so they can't eat, if I destroy the animal population so they have no food, I am showing that I do not love my neighbor. But what is the issue? A love for trees and water? No. A love for neighbor. Okay? The two greatest commandments are love God, love neighbor. Is that going to be seen in how I treat the environment? Absolutely. If your neighbor lives downstream from you, you don't dump toxic waste in the water. Right? That's just a no-brainer. Because that's about a love for your neighbor. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed to yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day the Lord spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that's on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that's in the waters beneath the earth, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. One of the things we as Christians need to be very careful with when it comes to environmentalism is many environmentalists worship the earth. They really do. Trees are more important than people, and Mother Earth, not God the Creator. Mother Earth is that which brought you forth, not God. And it's another form of idolatry. Right? Many people, their love for the forest has nothing to do with love for God and stewardship of His creation. For many of them, it's just as animalistic as the people who worship the trees. For many people, they love birds more than they love human beings. And for many people, they worship animals. They worship creation, not the Creator. And you can see this in values. One of the sickest things I've ever seen, a guy I went to college with, he's a pastor not far from here, and he put a poll on Facebook. This was a very comfort question he asked one time, but he put this on his Facebook page, and it really just about made me sick. Here's a pastor, and so a lot of the people who are asking the question are members of his congregation. If you saw your dog or a complete stranger about to die and you could only save one, who would you save? It was absolutely amazing to me how many people openly said, I'd save my dog and let the stranger die. Look, I am completely okay with people who love their pets. I mean, my sister-in-law's dog, she had to have it put down. I mean, and I was crying for her because that dog meant a lot to her. And I know for many people, people without children, that dog is almost like a child to you. But when we begin to live for animals and trees and not God in His glory, we need to really stop and ask, what's going on here? By the way, if you look at the current debate on climate change, it's pretty short on facts. And what you have is one group saying, you're just trying to stifle business. Well, all they care about is money. And the other group is saying, you're just trying to stop regulation and all they care about is power and controlling people. What you'll find is many of the people who are talking about climate change and environmentalism, they fly in private jets. Okay, their power bills are really high. I remember seeing the Al Gore's propane bill was $1,000 a month. He really cares about the environment, doesn't he? Who was the guy that got the Nobel Peace Prize or Nobel Prize for the environment? Leonardo DiCaprio? And he flew in a private jet to get the prize? No, it's about power. It's about control. It's not about God and His glory. For some people, it's about worshiping the earth. If you want to be vegan for health reasons, that's fine. But if you're vegan because you love animals so much and it's murder, like PETA says and all the things, you know, wearing a fur coat, that's murder. You need to really check yourself. You really do. Hey, buddy. We live for God and for His glory. We live for Him. We don't worship the earth. We don't worship trees. We don't worship plants. We don't worship animals. We worship God. And we are concerned about Him. Notice this in 1 Kings 4. This is talking about Solomon. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts, of fowl, of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth, which heard of his wisdom. Solomon was a man who studied plants and studied animals. How many of y'all are aware that many of the preachers back in the 1600s and 1700s in the United States also studied plants and animals? Some of the first scientists were preachers. Why? Because if you love God, you love what He's created. You want to know how He has created His world. To be a Christian is to love nature. No, not love nature as in that we worship it. Not to love nature is that we're more concerned about our dog than a human being. But we love and glorify God for all that He's created. And when we see the sun setting over the mountains, we praise God for the beauty. And when we see the rivers and the jungles and the parrots and the birds and the deer and the antelope, we praise God for what He has created. And we don't want to decimate or destroy what He has created. We want the air to be clean. We want the water to be drinkable. We want plants to grow and blossom and flourish. Why? Because we love God. And we love what He has created. I mean, there is absolutely nothing wrong with loving a dog. The problem is when you worship it. The problem is when you no longer care for what God cares about. And you no longer glorify Him for what He has created. Notice this is in Genesis chapter 3. And this is where I want to get to a different view of environmentalism that you've ever heard. To Adam he said, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife and eat of the tree, the which commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. I want you to notice what causes destruction in the environment. The first bit of destruction brought about in the environment was brought about by man's sin. The earth was cursed because of man's sin. Notice this in Numbers 35:33. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are. I was reading, did you know they have an environmentalist Bible? It's called the Green Bible. It's printed on like recycled paper and all this other type of stuff. And so this is one of their verses in it. You shall not pollute the land. Keep reading. For blood defiles the land. When he's talking about pollution, he's not talking about diesel emissions. You know what he's talking about? Murder. You know what's destroying the environment of America? What happens in Chicago? What happens at Planned Parenthood? It's the murder of innocent human beings. Keep reading. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Notice verse 3. Therefore, what? The land mourns. And everyone that dwells therein shall languish with the beast of the field, the fowls of heaven, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. You know what destroys the environment? Sin. That's what destroys the environment. No, not using, you know, 3 sheets of toilet paper. That's not what destroys the environment. Okay? No, destroying the environment's not driving a diesel. You know what destroys the environment? Lying. Stealing. Adultery. Why? Because that brings the curse of God. When we live in sin, that's what destroys the environment. Notice this. Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. What happened to creation? It is falling apart. Why? Because all of the animals just decided we want chaos and destruction. No. Why? Because of man's sin. Verse 21. Because the creature itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. How is the environment going to be redeemed? How are the animals and the plants going to be redeemed? The children of God. Keep reading. For we know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together till now. And not only they, but ourselves are also, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we also groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay? The world is falling apart. Why? Because of sin. It's not because we don't have compost piles everywhere. It's not because more people aren't recycling. The issue is sin. And God will destroy our environment because of sin. I mean, you notice how China's such a Christian nation, right? They're an atheist nation. And they can't even breathe their own air. Why? Well, because they've rejected the God who gives them air. They don't care about the environment because they don't care about the Creator. Notice in Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert, by the way, what grows in the desert? Nothing. Shall rejoice and blossom. The desert blossoms as a rose. That means it's just exploding with growth. How do you take a decimated environment and watch it grow? It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them, our fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. When men turn to Christ, guess what happens to their environment? It grows and blossoms. So if you care about the environment, what should you preach? Reduce your carbon emissions. No, you should preach the gospel. Because when men are changed and their hearts are changed, they will no longer care about greed, and they will no longer care about power, and they will no longer worship the earth. And the curse will be lifted off the land, and God will bless. Notice Isaiah 55. For the rain comes down, the snow from heaven returns not there, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, then may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Talking about how the fruit growing is the same as when the word of God is preached, it brings forth fruit. Notice this. For you will go out with joy. How are we going out with joy? With the word of God, with the gospel. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All of creation will flourish and rejoice. When? When the gospel is there. When people turn to the Lord. Instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Do you care about the environment? Then love God, keep His commandments, and preach the gospel. Because as men's hearts are changed, the way they treat other human beings will change, and the way they steward what God has entrusted to them will change, and the curse of God will be lifted off the land, and the blessings of God will come. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I didn't put the verse in here, by the way, but as a joke, the Bible does teach global warming. It says in Hebrews, the earth will be destroyed by fire. Okay? And no, that's not because of climate change. That's because of God's judgment. This world is going to come to an end. So is your body. And as Christians, you know what we do? We rejoice. I praise God there's coming a day when this body expires and I get a new one. And there's coming a day when this world expires and we get a new one. But I want you to notice the difference between the earth. It talks about all the blessings in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It talks about the blessings. But why is this new earth so wonderful? Verse 8. But there will be no more pollution, no more carbon emissions. No, what does it say? It says the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What pollutes the land? Murder. Guess why heaven will be so great? There'll be no more murder. Notice this in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I forgot to mention at the top of the page over here in Matthew 6, I want to read another verse that I forgot to read. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Notice the two greatest commandments. Love God, love neighbor. On a scale of animals versus people, guess who God loves? People. Now, if I love people, you know what I'm going to want? I'm going to want my neighbor to have a job, air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink. So if I love my neighbor, okay, I'm going to make sure that the environment's taken care of and also make sure that the government stays out of regulations. Why? Because most of what is being pushed, as it talks about regulations, has nothing to do about caring for the environment. How many of y'all are aware that the Paris climate change was going to, according to their numbers, reduce global warming by 1%? According to their numbers. What's it about? Power and control. That's what it's about. If it was actually about caring for the environment, you know what you would find? You would find they no longer flew in private jets, that they no longer have huge yachts, that they live now in little tiny houses, and they gave away all their stuff to the poor. If that was the way it was, you would see it in their lives reflected. It's not. We as Christian people, okay, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not even going to get into it. I don't even think you need to be a scientist to understand all the nonsense that's going on, because I don't think there's any science behind a lot of it. Okay? But that's not my place to say. I'm going to say this as a Christian. How should we view it? We are being trusted with all the plants and animals, the air, the water, and everything on planet Earth to reflect God's glory. And our priority is God's glory and our neighbor's good. And our neighbor's good includes a job, food, air, water, shelter. We are not about promoting government power. And we are not about greed. And so when we see a company that is willing to destroy the environment for money, we would say that is not biblical. When we see a company that is willing to destroy people for money, we would say that is not biblical. When we see people that want to take man's freedom and control man for their power, that is not biblical. Should Christians care about the environment more than anyone? So does that mean we lobby for government control? No. That means we take care of the land and things around us. Why? Because we love our neighbor and because we love God. But most of all, we realize that we worship God, not creation. And human beings matter. The reason you take care of the environment is because you love God. Not because you've bought into somebody's scheme. And because you love your neighbor. Because your children and your grandchildren are going to have to live in this world. So, should you recycle? I would say yeah. If it's a profitable recycling, some recycling is about control, some recycling is actually profitable, some recycling is actually bad for the environment. Okay? Should you waste? No, you shouldn't waste. I don't know if y'all ever driven down 95 on the way to West Palm and seen the landfills down there. Have you ever seen that? It is absolutely disgusting. By the way, you know what fills landfills? Go to Sam's and try to buy one of those micro USB cards. Have you ever done that? It comes in a package about this big. You know why? Because people steal. You want to reduce garbage? Stop stealing. I mean, we say we're going to save the environment by passing regulations. No. It's our sin that destroys this world. It is our sin that could care less about other people. So what should a Christian think? A Christian should love God and love his neighbor. He should take care of what God has entrusted to him. But does that mean that we're all about government control? No. We want the government to leave us alone so we can live a godly life. That's what we've been told to pray. Is that they would leave us alone so we can worship God and we can serve him. We want our corporate profits. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? We're not going to destroy the world for the generations to come so that we can live in wealth. Okay? So I hope you can see as a Christian how we would view this issue. Should we take care of everything around us? Yes. Should we take care of our plants and animals? Yes. Should we water the grass and do all those things? Absolutely. But we should have a little bit of common sense. And we should do this not out of a worship of the earth, but out of a worship of God. About a love for him. Realize that he has entrusted all these things to us. And also out of a love for the generations to come. That we would leave behind the natural resources they need so that they too can glorify God and they too can enjoy all the good things he's given them. Amen.